the Lord. We cry, holy. We cry, holy.
We cry,
holy. Is the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do worship you and bow before you at the remembrance of your holiness. Lord, as we just thank you for this beautiful presence that is with us, we don't take it for granted under the covering of our fathers. We're so grateful. Lord, we come to ask that, Lord, in this presence, Lord, as we go into your word, that, Lord, as we come to pray now, we come by the blood of Jesus. We come, Lord, into your presence and we ask for a fresh mercy, fresh unction and anointing. Because it's not of him that willeth, it's of your mercy. So you will enable me this afternoon to minister your word faithfully, in humility, in wisdom, in power, in clarity, in the simplicity and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, so that it will accomplish in all of our hearts, including my own, an eternal, internal work, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation, insight from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled, subdued, and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Father, I come to pray and ask, Lord, that as I minister this word, Lord, help me, Lord, to be concise and to be precise. Help me to be sensitive to you, Holy Spirit, to remain in fellowship and communion with you all through, in the name of Jesus. So that I will speak as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this world things new and old, according to your will, in the name of Jesus. Help me to redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, Lord God, and thank you for helping me to yield myself to you, so that it will be you at work to will and to do of your good pleasure. As we minister, I pray for my brethren that the same unction and anointing, those on site and those online, will be upon their hearts and upon their ears. I dock under the covering of our fathers, so that that same anointing will override and superimpose, causing the word to be received with the same clarity, the same unction, Lord, the same anointing which is delivered in the name of Jesus, making us doers of the word, hastening your return to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, good morning, brethren, or good afternoon. Amen. And it's great to be in the presence of God again with you, and a great privilege for me to bring the word this afternoon. I'd like to say also good afternoon to all of our online audience, our brethren, and our fathers as well. Thank you so much for this privilege that we have to gather together in his presence. As we go into this time of sharing the word, I want to give honor to my fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah, who have entrusted me to bring the word. I thank you so much, sir. Thank you, Mommy. Don't take it for granted, and I ask that God will help me to be faithful. It's important to be faithful. Help me to be faithful. Well, this afternoon, I feel God is touched with the feelings of my infirmities. He's taught me what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to know that God cares. I know it looks as if he's far away, but he's so near, so close, you can touch him. And he wants you to know today that you can reach out and touch instead of waiting to be touched. You can reach out and touch like the woman with the issue of blood, because you are in God and God is in you. You are one. You and He are together. And He's so close. You can drink from Him anytime you want. And He wants you to know that you can everything that is not enough, He will supply, because He's right there with you. And you can draw and drink from Him. And stand and then go out and set others free. That's the will of God for us. God is preparing His bride. He's dressing up His bride. You know, when you want to go to a party, you dress up. God is dressing up His bride. You know, and we need to stretch out your hand and let God dress you up. Because He alone knows the garment. Amen. So, entitled this word, it's a word of exhortation, is entitled, Keeping Ourselves in God. Keeping ourselves in God. And the Lord just dropped that scripture in my heart. Mommy taught us a while ago. That's where we got this confession. We made God, we are God's begotten and God protected. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, verses 18 to 20. Very quick. Well, I'm not really going to wait for you, even though quick. We know that whosoever, let's say that we know, this Apostle John, he's the perfect disciple, like Pastor taught us. All right. We know. So he talks from the point of knowing, not believing. But you believe in order to know. But he's talking about know. Say, we know. Say it again. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Next verse. And we know that we are of God. Let's say it again. We are of God. One more time. We are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Next verse. And we know. He said we know three times. Three solid times. We know that we are born of God. So we cannot continue in habitual sin. We know that we are of God. And we are living in a hostile environment. And we know that the Son of God is come. And has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. God wants us to know some things. That's why He says, the Son of God has come to give us an understanding. There's some things we have to understand how they are. He said the whole world lies in wickedness. But the Bible also says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The whole earth is full of His handiwork. The Bible tells us that the mercy of God reaches unto the clouds. So, it's like Elisha. An army came to surround him at Dothan. They came in early in the morning, in the middle of the night, to catch the man of God. But he knew who he was. And when the servant woke up in the morning, he saw that they were surrounded by this army. And he said, my master, alas, what are we going to do? And he said to him, relax. There are more for us than there are against us. And he said, master, I don't understand. He said, Lord, open his eyes. The Son of God has come to give us an understanding. God has to give us a revelation. Open our eyes. He said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw that around that army was another army. So even though the whole world lies in wickedness and Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the presence of God fills the entire universe. So from inside God, you can dominate the power in the air. That's what God is saying. And we can stop sinning and start reigning. We can stop being overcome and start overcoming. That's the will of God for us. God is raising the committed overcomer vanguard. That's His purpose in this time. But He's doing it in a hostile environments. And that environment is created by unregenerate men. We know Pastor taught us sin, righteousness, sin, forgiveness, judgment, and mercy. That beautiful message. That Satan is the origin of sin. And that sin is a spiritual substance. When Satan was cut off from God, what was inside him changed its configuration. And so it became sin or spiritual death, substance. Now that substance was what Adam and Eve took on when they ate of the tree in the garden. Now that that sin nature has now been passed down through the bloodline to all humanity. So whether you are in any country of the world, you have that sin nature. Now, if a person is born again, that nature is removed by the entrance of the life of God and the power of God through the Holy Spirit to recreate that human spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So all things are passed away. All things in the spirit are become new. So the nature in the spirit is new. Life, eternal life. It says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So that life comes into the spirit, you know, and then, recreates the spirit. And then God expects that we will use that life to drive out the residual sin nature that is in the will, the mind, and the emotions, and in the physical body, and the air that is around us. So he's telling us that we are of God. You need to know the stock of which you are come from. You need to understand the rock from whence we have been hewn. We are divine. We are divine. That hits a brick wall. We are divine. You have divinity inside you. There is God inside you. He has come to give us an understanding of who we really are. And so, God is three things. He is life, He is light, and He is love. I am come that they might have, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Even this scripture, in verse 20, says, this is the true God and eternal life. Eternal life is a person. God is eternal life. He doesn't have eternal life. He is eternal life. Then He gives eternal life. Eternal life is what is inside God that makes God God. John 5:26. Very quickly. John 5:26. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As the Father hath life, where? In Himself. So has He given to the Son to have life in Himself. So what is life? What the Father has in Himself. Simple. It is not living forever. It produces living forever. It is a substance. It's important to understand that. That understanding is critical. And that's what God is emphasizing. So with that understanding now, you when you get born again, you now understand that, okay, I have life. Now, this is another important understanding. That even though we are born again, anytime we speak or talk, we are speaking out of the abundance of what is in our heart. Matthew 12:34. Thank you. O generation of vipers. It's not talking to you. Relax. Tell your neighbor, it's not talking to us. You didn't say that. You said it's not talking to us. We will not be vipers. We're not vipers in Jesus' name. How can ye being evil speak good things? For. Because. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Everybody is speaking from the abundance of the heart. Not from the heart too. So while there is life in your spirit, if it is not full, like a cup of water, if you put straw in a cup of water and the cup is half full, okay, you buy drinks, and then you put a piece of straw, and the straw is not touching where the water is, and you put your mouth there, what are you going to, if you pull on, what are you going to get? Air. Is there water in the cup? Yes. But what's coming to your mouth? Air. Same thing. Is there life in your spirit? Yes. But what is coming out when you speak? If you don't feel it to abundance, death. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue.
And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:20. I'm not turning there, but I'm just laying a foundation so we can understand. So God is saying that even though you are of me, it is our responsibility. He that is born of God keepeth himself. You have to keep your heart full of the life of God. So everything you say, everything you think is being controlled from that abundance. And you dominate. So because there are men unregenerate on the face of the earth who are not born again yet, in their spirit they have death, in their soul they have death, in their body they have death. When they speak, what comes out? Death. And Christians who don't have this understanding, when they also speak, what comes out is death. That's why a Christian can go to church and on the way back, he can get into a fight with the conductor and tear his shirt. He's just coming from church. How do you explain that? It's nature and abundance. Everybody say nature, abundance. Nature, abundance. So we must make sure that we have the nature in abundance at all times. Otherwise, we contribute to the wickedness in the air unknowingly. But that's where the power comes from. Okay? So God wants us to understand. So that power in the air now, Satan now manipulates it and begins to use it to touch people's lives. The Bible says the wicked one toucheth him not. He begins to touch people with worry, with anxiety, with depression, with oppression, with sickness, with lack, with poverty, with calamity. And the Bible says that we are the ones that are supposed to destroy all these works, and we are going to destroy it as we understand who we really are and refuse to allow his power. So it starts with you. Say, it starts with me. Everything starts with me. I must first of all take care of myself. All right, you know, so that we can fulfill the purpose of God. Say, for this cause was the Son of God manifest, that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. So we're going to destroy the works of the devil as we allow him to manifest in our lives in Jesus' name. All right, so we see what God is doing. Look at Exodus 32, verse 4 to 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Exodus 32. Want to see the children of Israel? What you see in the children of Israel is a type. The Bible says these things were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So when you read it with humility. Don't say, Moisha, they were such a bother. Relax. Read and receive instruction. Amen. Exodus 32, 4 to 7. Let's read it together. And Aaron. And he received it at their, he asked for their gold. I just called it. No, let's start from there. He received the gold at their hand. This is the gold that God put it in the heart of the Egyptians to give them. So it was God that gave them the gold. May we not make an idol out of what God gave us. Anything that is bigger than God. In our Bible, say the last thing he said is, my little children, 1 John 5:21, keep yourself from idols. Don't let anything take you away from the important business of making sure that there is life in your heart to abundance at all times. You are receiving and releasing. That is your ministry. That's my ministry. Don't let anything take you away from that. It's an idol. I said, and fashioned it with a graving tool. After he had made it a mortar, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Next verse. And when Aaron saw it, he made it with them. When he saw it, he received revelation. And then built an altar. Can you imagine? So David also gives revelation. Gives you a negative understanding. The Bible talks about the sound mind. So there must be an unsound mind. Okay, so he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to who? Tomorrow is a feast to who? To God, with a golden calf. Where did that come from? It's a figment of their imagination. Next verse. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings, imagine, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. All this is to God. That's what's going on in the church. Even though God is fast changing it, it's imminent right now. They sit down to eat and they rise up to play. Everything is self-centered. Does God care about us? Yes. But does he want to make us the center of our own world? No. God is the center of our world. He created us. He has to be the center. Everything revolves around him. He's the nucleus. You are in the cytoplasm. Amen. I'm taking you back to biology. You cannot be the nucleus in your own center, in your own life. God is the nucleus. He is the centrifuge that pulls you to the center. But they had gone off. They had cut themselves off. Look at Moses, verse 7. Moses is... And the Lord said to Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou brought... God said this, they're not my own. They belong to you. Whom thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, they have what? Corrupted themselves. What is corruption? Corruption is being disconnected from God. That's corruption. Once any river that is disconnected from its source will become stagnant. So we cannot afford, you know, that was Satan's original sin. He was disconnected because of his independence. Wanted to be independent of God, okay? Because of the wealth that he had gotten through whatever he was trading in. You know, he wanted to have his own kind of thing. And God said, you can't have it. And anytime you are disconnected, we cannot sustain whatever God has given us. Very important to understand that. We cannot sustain what God... We can only sustain it by staying in contact and in connection with God. All right? So, we see that they were doing the wrong thing. Bible says they rose up to play. They were having fun. And they were sinning against God. All their senses were telling them that, oh, I'm really having a good time. So, brethren, it means that our senses can lead us astray. You can be doing the wrong thing and it will feel like God. You can be disobeying God and you'll be hearing something telling you, you are on the right path, this is the way. So, it's important to understand that. So, is you know, that we have to retrain our senses. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Message Bible, quickly. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Let's read it together. So, if you are serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along. Eyes where? To the ground. Absorb with things right in front of you. Look up and be what? Alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Next verse. Your old life is dead. You didn't say it. Say, my old life is dead. There was a life we were supposed to live without Christ. Jesus rescued us from that life. The cause of it and the end of it. He rescued us from the two. So, you cannot pursue your new life as if it was the old one. That's what he's saying. Your new life, which is the real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ where? In God. He's your life. Next verse. When Christ, your real life, remember? Shows up again on this earth, you show up too. The real you. The what? Glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. Give God a clap offering. Hallelujah. God is saying that it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. That's what he's saying. It doesn't. We don't know yet. But you know, when you know it first by revelation on the inside, and you live the life, you act it out. You know, you know who you are. You don't need them to, you don't need anybody to you don't need their endorsement to know who you are. You know by revelation who God says you are. And that's where it's important for us not to presume. Many times we are guilty of presumption. May God have mercy on us. And I say it including myself. You know, we are guilty of presumption. And God wants to take that away from us in Jesus' name. All right? So we must not be guilty of presumption. We must know who we are. And that's why we come back to what he said. That we are of God. We are a new spiritual creature. And we live in a new environment. Spiritually, when you get born again, you're in a new environment. Your environment now is God. God is your birds live in the air. Fishes live in the sea. You and I live in God. God is our habitat. God is your habitat. So you live in God. And you cannot afford to get disconnected from God because that's your life source. That's where you get everything that makes you the real you who you really are. So you need to stay plugged in. So don't stay in the outer court. Go inner and inner and inner and inner into the holiest of all. Because that's where your real life is. God is calling us to go to the deep end. This middle ground where it's safe kind of Christianity is not going to bring down the glory. That's what God is saying. Amen. And the glory is going to come down. So to reject this is to be willfully ignorant, like Pastor said, you know, and to be rebellious. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. You know, and the Bible says that they were overthrown in the wilderness. We will not be overthrown in the wilderness. The promised land is the perfection and the fullness of Christ. No sin nature in the spirit, no sin nature in the soul, no sin nature in the body. That's the promise. And you maintain, that's the promised land. Now, and that now brings down the glory of God. Okay? Now, why is this important? To keep yourself in God. God is saying that our faith in Him, we must, you know, we must narrow down and focus our faith on life. On eternal life. It's very important to understand. You know, faith, our faith in Christ, yes, we trust God. But what do we trust? We trust in God's integrity. We trust in God's wisdom and power. Okay? And when we trust in Him, God gives us mercy. He responds by giving us mercy. The Bible says God is merciful and gracious. He gives mercy and grace. And what is mercy? Is life. Is the compassion of God that God gives to us that enables us to overcome the effects of the sin nature in, you know, to be able to do the will of God. It preserves us from destruction, helps us to do the will of God, helps us not to faint, and it takes us over and makes us triumph. That's mercy. Is life coming in from the outside. And grace gives life on the inside through the blood of Jesus when we confess our sins. So like Elisha at the well, at the place called Dothan, he had life in two. Dothan means two wells. There is mercy and grace. So the same way, we must understand our faith in God is operating to release mercy and grace so that we can have life. It's, look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 to 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 to 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. For whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. What did he say? We are of God. So if how many people are born of God here? He says we overcome the world. What's the world? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, so this is there. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So what are we using to overcome the world? In the world, there is sin. So we're using our faith to receive life. It's very clear. It's very, very straightforward. And what God is saying, look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 5. Give that to me in the King James. So the more life you have in you, the more of the attributes of God we can demonstrate and manifest. That's why the Bible says that he has given us, let's read it. Grace and peace, let's read together, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You say, brethren, we're not saying these things because we don't know them. We're saying it because we need to upgrade our efficiency in doing them. That's what this is all about. It's not knowledge. It's about practice as we share it. Okay? Next verse. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. As Pastor taught us so beautifully, life is the substance, godliness is the effect of the substance. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, that is through the knowledge of the word. Amen. Next verse. Whereby are given unto us what? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these what? Promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. What's that divine nature? Life. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So even though the whole world lies in wickedness, you and I have been given a way of escape. What's that way of escape? Eternal life. Use it. Consistently, and that's what God is saying. Next verse. And besides this, so when you understand that and you are receiving the life, then you can now act on the outside. Without the life operating on the inside, you are an I am, anybody is going to be frustrated. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Fishes don't climb trees. It's not their habitat. Have you seen a fish climbing a tree? I have not seen. Have you seen an alligator climb a tree? You have seen an alligator climb a tree? Ah, he's a very doctor, a very professor. They don't climb. Why? It's not their habitat. So it's not about nature. You are built for this. You are created for this. This is who you really are. You can manifest this. It's with ease. You just have to do it efficiently. So God said, beside this, giving all diligence, that's the essence of the message, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. So you can add, the more life you have, the more things you add. And when you eventually have so much, Bible says, an entrance will be ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom. When you are born again, you are not in the kingdom yet. You can see the kingdom. But when you begin to put life into your soul and your body on a consistent daily basis with force and power, you will eject that sin nature from your soul and body. And ultimately, it will bring you into the experience of entering that kingdom, dominating the sin nature, spirit, soul, and body, total. That is what God is saying. Amen. And that's where we're going, okay? And so, what God is saying is this. We now need to upgrade our spiritual technology. No, brethren, it's very important, you know, to understand that spiritual things. And I thank God for our fathers. Let's just give them a super hand, you know. Thank God for their own fathers. Oh, no, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, E.W., Kenyon Smith, Wilkins Ward, you know, Pyelton. You know, thank God for their fathers and thank God for their own faithfulness, because they've made things so precise, brethren. You know, it's easy to see and understand and do. Yes, it's distilled wisdom. So what's the goal? We need to upgrade our spiritual warfare. No, we can't be using Dane gun. You can't be using a Dane gun to fight somebody with an AK-47. It's not possible. It's not going to work. So our spiritual warfare must change. Now we are not even using guns again. We're using attack drone. Yes, so we are not there. We are just sitting where we are in prayer, and we'll send a drone. Hallelujah. If man can do it, it's not a problem with God. Bible says the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his invisible power and Godhead. What did the power give us? Life. So you can do the same on your knees. I watched a film the other day. It's called Eye in the Sky. I can't forget the film. Eye in the Sky. The Americans were in America, but they had the power of satellites. So from the satellite, they were seeing from the satellite what was going on in Somalia or Ethiopia, one of those countries where there were terrorists that were planning something. And so then they had drones. You know, there are drones that are as little as beetles. It's like a beetle. It's a drone. It stays on the wall and it's showing everything you are doing. And you think, it's a cockroach. You are calling the cockroach, but they can see you. It's photographing everything you are doing, and they can see you in real time. They were doing that for those guys. It's a film, but I know they have it. America has it. They have more advanced things. You know, they have it. So they made up their mind that these guys, they saw them, you know, packing the dynamite and everything they wanted to do, strapping the thing around them. They were planning it. They were looking at it. That's how God looks at the devil. All things he's planning. He was looking at it. They were planning it. And God looks at it and God says, wake up, pray. So you can send your attack drone to finish the thing up before they even start. That's what they did. So when the surveillance drone had picked everything that they were doing, then they sent the attack one, the one that has the bomb on it. And that one was hovering high in the sky because there was a little girl that was selling oranges in front of the house. And they didn't want to kill the girl with them. So they sent somebody to buy all her oranges. Oh, Makasaki. Thank God for America. Oh, they're not perfect. But if other people had what America has, there's the influence of their fathers right there. So in any case, to cut a long story short, they bought all the oranges. And the girl was so happy, she went and got more oranges. Anyway, to cut a long story short, when those guys were about to move out of the house, they had to make a decision. They bombed them. That plan died. It never came to light. You can kill Satan's plans just like that. In our lives, in our children, in our seed, in your locality, and in our nation, Nigeria. What they're thinking, where they think, we have drones that are there on the wall. How did they know that Elisha, what the king is saying? How did Elisha know? His drone, but it's a spiritual drone. But it's more effective than the physical one. So same thing as you cultivate your soul, you must stop using subsistence farming. Be using hoe and cutlass. How many ground will you cover in the sun on your head? You'll be tired. Yes, change the technology. Change technology. Let's get more land. Bible says there is much increase by the strength of the ox. Get under covering of spiritual fathers. Yes, and start using tractor on the expanse of land. You get more yield. You get more harvest. You get more fruit that way than doing it on your own, independent. You get more fruit of the spirit out of your life. You get less collateral damage. This is the will of God for us. So our faith must be in life. Don't say, I want to do my own. How many people believe that? Because is it in the word of God? If it's in the word of God, do it. That's what God is saying. Next reason why this is very important is that there is a dearth of teaching priests. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. Let's read it very quickly, very quickly. So, for a long season, Israel has been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. This is the state of the church, but it's changing. We are the spiritual Israel, and God is raising up teaching priests. Jesus was a teaching priest, Lord Jesus. He taught in a simple way that everybody could understand, and it was prophetic. So he's raising up teaching priests, teaching us about the law of the spirit of life that will dominate the law of sin and death. There is no answer. If you obey the law, you get the result. It's not maybe, if, shall, be, no. It is precise. If you don't get the result, you didn't obey the law. Walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a law. So God is raising up teaching priests, and it's up to us now to begin to understand that ministry of teaching priests, and their job is to produce a shift in our mentality, from self-centered children to trained warriors. God needs trained warriors. That's why he's raising a committed overcomer vanguard. People that don't mind going to battle. people that are willing to fight, people that understand that this is what God has given me. I cannot leave it and let it fall to the ground. It is my Father's business. It is important to me. So let's work on it. That's what God is saying. Okay? All right. So and we see and they are what you call sons of Issachar. You know, the Bible says they have understanding of the times and they know what Israel ought to do. They're not many of them. So when you are privileged to hear people like that, it's important to hear and understand the privilege that God has given you and begin to do it. The Bible says that if you believe the Lord, you will be established. If you believe his prophets, you will prosper in the purpose that God has given you. That's what God has said. God is saying that purpose that God has ordained, we're going to prosper in it in Jesus' name. But we have to believe the teaching priests that God has sent. Amen. And we see an example of in Genesis 14:43. Pastor David was sharing it by the Spirit today. You know, when Lot was taken captive, you know, God raised up Abraham. Bible says Abraham, Genesis 14:14-15. We're not going to turn there. Bible says Abraham sent. He went with 315 trained warriors in his house. They were in his house. They were not from outside. They were in his house. And he went with them and went and delivered Lot. There was a battle between two kings, between two sets of kings. There was one king, set of five kings, and another set of four kings fighting against each other. The side where Lot was, there were four kings. They lost the war. No, but that war they lost against the five kings, God used 315 men and Abraham. They went up in the night, like Gideon, divided themselves into camps and attacked and took over everything that they had. That's God. Abraham was in his habitat. You will do incredible things in your habitat. If you grow up and become who God wants you to be, in that position of who you want to be, you will change. The real you will come out. Like Pastor said, we are God men. And then finally, it's important to understand that God is telling us to keep ourselves in God because that's where we're going to find rest. The Bible says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, let's read it. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. The Lord is telling us, come unto me. That's what God is saying. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is a 24/7 promise, brethren. You can get it any day, any time. Just come apart from the crowd. Like Jesus took him to tell his disciples, come apart from the crowd and sit here a while. And if you rest and stay in his presence and pray and talk to him, not necessarily fight battle prayer, but just pray and fellowship with him, he will minister to you. That's what he's saying. Next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Next verse. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is the yoke? Eternal life. What is the burden? Love. Not just love, any way we want to love, but loving God and loving men the way God does. That's the commandment. That's, you know, we are loving at God's level. We're not loving at our level. That's why we need eternal life. To be able to do that, you know, to get to that level of love. And he's telling us that we have to be meek and lowly in heart. So we must stop presuming. We must be humble and dependent and hold on to our God and keep receiving life. Because it's a humble heart that receives life. Pastor David shared that in the morning. He gives grace to the humble, but he resisted the proud. So if you want God to give you grace, you know, he will give you that grace, but you have to humble yourself either to God or to men or both. And in that place of humility, you will get the life, and that life flows into your system and sorts things out. That's the will of God for us. Amen? All right, so we see that that's what God wants to do. God wants to flush out the corruption, and allow us to be able to process that life into spiritual power, you know, to become sons of God. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. We see a revelation here. I think Pastor has shared it before, but it's just worth repeating. Romans chapter 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Next verse. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So Jesus was a human being. He was a man. He didn't come as God. That's what he's telling us. That's scripture. You know, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, which was made of seed of David according to the flesh. So he was in David's lineage as a person, you know, but he was God. You know, but he was stripped of his divinity. Next verse. And declared to be the Son of God with what? Power. According to the spirit of holiness. That's why that song was important. By the resurrection from the dead. That resurrection power that raised him from the dead is supposed to be released into our lives and produce holiness. And that holiness now enables God to entrust us with the power so we can manifest as sons of God. So how do we do it? There's nothing new. God has, that we've been very well taught about how it's simply receiving life and releasing life. But with diligence now, with determination now, when circumstances come and you have to choose between putting God first or doing that thing that looks so important, sometimes you have to put God first. Unless some things appear as if you lose, as it were, an opportunity. But that life that you have will recreate another opportunity. You have to choose the good part. That's what the test is all about, brethren, now. It's about effective management of your time. There are only 24 hours in a day. And in a day, you have to receive and release enough life and power to overcome the evil for that day and reign as a king and enter deeper into communion with God in that day. That's the whole idea. So it's something we know. So we use the blood of Jesus. That blood of Jesus now reconnects. It keeps us connected to God. No, it's a spiritual substance. It's not physical. All right? So we're not using it on the expressway. We're not using it to clean our house or wash our house. We're not using it. No, those things are Bible. So when I was a child, I thought like a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The fact is, brethren, that even though we are children of God, the things of the world appeal to us. It's the truth, except you are lying. When you are watching a movie, your eyes will be bum. It's only me. It doesn't happen to you. When you're watching football, you can never sleep. But when it's prayer, I know it doesn't happen to you. When you want to read your Bible, you want to study your Bible, some circumstance just happen and just makes it difficult for you to study your Bible at that time. Then you now come in the night and you start sleeping. True or false? If I can put up my leg and my toes. But honesty is the best policy. It is where salvation begins. Because when we start being honest and call a spade, the blood of Jesus Christ can go into operation. Because it doesn't just forgive our sins. It cleanses away that nature. It washes it away. So there is less of that sin. That's why we specify sins, you know. In my mind, that's the understanding that God has given me. You know, any sin that is disturbing you, I confess it. Yes, so knowing to do good and doing it not. Please. You call it by his name. So that this is my number. Have mercy on me. And when you do that, you need to wash it away. It's difficult for you to go back to that sin again. You just notice that you stop. It's been a while since you get better. It's slow. It's gradual. But it's there. So we have to start being honest and stop presuming like Peter. You know, Peter presumed that because he had revelation knowledge in one area, when Jesus spoke about something in another area, that he knew everything. So in one area, he had God. And in that area, he was talking from the devil. Brethren, we are like that. So at our greatest success, when we are most successful, is when we should be very careful. Because even though God just did something through you right now, there are other areas where the sin nature is there. So you need to hold on to God and say, God, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Help me. Help me. So that mercy, okay, you understand. Okay, mercy. I would say, no. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It's that attitude that keeps you like that. Holding on to the horns of the altar and saying, God, help me. And that he will help you. Because he will not despise that cry, okay? And he will help us. You know, so that's what God is trying to tell us, you know, to do. So we renounce hidden things of dishonesty. When they are in seed form, when they are hidden, that means nobody can see them. People are not seeing them, but you see it, you know it, you call it by his name, confess it and repent of it and forsake it. That's what God is telling us to do, okay? So that we can stay humble. Being quick to obey. How do you know you are humble? You are quick to obey. When God says something, you obey. That means you are humble. When God said something, you have done it. And that means you are humble. You know, you are humble at that time. Everything, you know, is so important. You know, when you understand, then you walk with circumspectly. You walk with fear and trembling. The fact that I did it well yesterday doesn't mean I cannot bungle it today. And when you get so big, occasionally God allows it. You know, it's always very small, but many times we don't pick it. But look at Psalm 19, verse 12 and 13. God deliver us from presumptuous sin in Jesus' name. These are the little foxes, presumptuous sins. We assume. Who can understand these errors? Cleanse thou me from open faults. In secret. Secret means only you and God know, and maybe oversight. But if you don't quickly deal with it, it will be the talk of the town. And it will be on the news. You know, there are some people that their private lives, you hear it on the news. You hear it. It's the same principle. Don't be saying, he deserves it. You better be showing mercy to people. And you to look to yourself. As Bible says, the way we correct others, we do it in a spirit of meekness. Understanding that you are in this position now, at this time, by the mercy and the grace of God. And you need to stay there. So you have that attitude. So the first thing you do is to minister life. Is to receive mercy, to cleanse their sin. Ask life for them and pray. And when I started consciously doing that, I found that many times I would have talked before I pray. I said, God, I have a problem. Help me. So, and I'm still working at it. To start, my first instinct is to pray. But, then I will hold myself. But he said, secret force. Next verse. Keep back thy servant. What's that word there? Also from presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. We know what disturbs us? Presumptuous sin. The presumptuous sin covers the secret fault. But God is exposing it and giving us an understanding. You know, the presumption is, I don't have a problem. Because I prayed. Because I read my Bible. Because I fasted from 4th of January to 4th of February. Thank God for what God did on that epoch-making fast. We thank God. But there is no room for presumption. The first thing to go is presumption. It's pride. It covers things so we cannot see it. And God wants to expose it. Because what is exposed cannot deceive you. Amen? All right. So we receive life. So we receive life. We do it by the blood of Jesus Christ working, by us forsaking our sin, and by refusing to be presumptuous. And then we now begin to release life. We release life in prayer. And the daily rema today is spot on. You know, there's daily rema that where it says that his commandments are not grievous. Yes, beautiful daily rema. How you speak life into the air by your confession. At the same time, you speak into your heart by your believing as you begin your meditation. So you are speaking with your mouth and you are speaking with your heart. You are releasing life both ways. You know, then with that now comes the background. So that's confession. And it's the background of prayer. Praying good morning, Jesus, with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Or fourth watch, or whatever, you pray that, you know, with everybody. That corporate anointing is there. Then you now pray again once every 6 hours, the way we have been taught. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, you know, keep the word. Or Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of law will not depart out of thy mouth or out of thy heart, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. So what that thing is doing is it's causing the life of God to flow. The same way sin was flowing, Bible says, the motions of sin. So sin is emotion. So the same way sin was flowing to make us disobey, life will flow to make us obey. To make us humble. To make us temperate. To make us kind. To make us wise. To make us 10 times better than our peers. But it's the flow of the life. Walking in love. Okay? And then we now begin to walk in love. It's very important to mention here that walking in love is first in prayer. I've mentioned it. You know, you wash feet. You ask for mercy to cleanse people's sins. Then you give life to them. Then you pray for them in tongues. That's very important. Frequently. And then you practice walking in love. In obedience to God's commandments. Amen. Walk in humility. You know, humbly, deliberately. Taking the path of humility so that we can have grace. That allows, when you say Jesus in my half life, sufficient life. Attitude is very important, you know. It comes in, and then, of course, walking in thanksgiving. We give God thanks. I'm trying to give God thanks more consistently all during the day. Every time we pray, as you are praying in the Spirit, you give thanks to the Father. As we have been taught by our fathers, you give thanks to the Son. You give thanks to the Holy Spirit. During the day, you thank God for what you're doing. And Lord, I thank you for helping me here. Thank you for helping me. As you do that, you are in constant communion. You're bringing God refreshing. Every time I give it to you, you're bringing God refreshing. So your walls are ever before Him. So you are staying vitally in contact with God. And so you begin to grow at a rate that will surprise you yourself. That's what God is saying. All right? And as we do that, we also add fasting. Now, the fact that 1 month fast is over doesn't mean we're on fasting recess. And brethren, I say it as a joke and I say it in love. You know, let's just maintain the discipline, all those disciplines of the Christ life. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Let's close with that scripture. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 to 8. Who in the days of his flesh, you are also a son of God in the making. These are the days of our flesh. When he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. That's travail right there. Can't get away from that. That's what injects the life of God into the mortal body. And tears. Unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Honesty and humility of heart. Let us pray. Let us talk to God. It's important to reverence those in authority that God has set. You can be in the church and not honor those in authority over you. That attitude of love and honor is critical now, brethren. It's critical now because they are the eye in the sky. They are the satellite in the heavens. It is in their light that you see light. They are the ones giving you the information on the ground. Believe his prophets. You have to honor them. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, know them that labor among you. That's the hallmark. They labor in life. They labor in the word. They labor in love. And are over you and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. These are little things, little foxes. We need to fine-tune and put in optimal condition that attitude of love and honor must be there, and you must watch it and keep improving upon it. It's never, you never get to a point where you think that is done. You keep working on it, you keep looking at it, you keep making sure you remove things that can want to affect that. So the attitude keeps getting more and more. Your love for those in authority, your love, it keeps getting deeper and stronger. Because love is the currency for the glory. Unfeigned love. So we must do it to those in authority over us. And then we can do it because they are the source. God doesn't talk to you direct. I mean, to a degree, yes. But there's some things you cannot understand. Somebody else has to come and break it down. Another, Bible says, lift up your hands and another will gird you. John 21:18. That another is the Holy Spirit in the place of prayer. It's also spiritual fathers. And tell you, this is the way to go. And you don't want to go. Until we remove the sin nature, we don't want to go into the holiest of all. So let's work on that sin nature. Remove those things, attitudes, diligence, faith, visualize. There is a longing only you can feel.
A raging tempest
only you can still.
My heart is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I'm known.
Drink from the river that flows before your throne. Sunrise, ooh. Sunrise to sunrise, I will seek your face.
Drawn by the Spirit
to the promise of your grace.
My heart has found in you
a hope that will abide.
Here in your presence,
forever satisfied.
Ooh. And take me deeper in love with you.
Jesus, hold me close
in your embrace.
Lord, take me deeper
and deeper than I've ever been before.
Lord, I just want to love you.
Sign that you need him, and our left hand on our hearts. We pray, God, say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I come by the blood of